Beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. Thank you so much for the opportunity to bring some goodness into your lives. We are devoted here to making a difference. Daily I pray, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes, that's what we're going for, step by step. Week by week, bringing you guests that is going to support this evolution of our lives during these amazing times of transition into the best that Earth could ever bring us. And, of course, with any birthing process, there's going to be some challenges, and that's why I want to bring you things that are going to help move us through that birth canal into the greatness of our being. This show is brought to you by AdvancedLiving.com, our sponsor. So when you get a moment, go to AdvancedLiving.com, check out the comfort technology. We call it a Clark Kent clock with superpowers because when you plug in that stylish little digital clock, it brings an energy forth like having the Dalai Lama show up and meditate in your room, counteracts electropollution, raises the healing field of energy. You're going to be in for a treat. Check it out, AdvancedLiving.com. And yes, talking about subtle things like a Clark Kent clock with superpowers, how about opening the door to studies? What if there was a group that has been devoted for many years to studying subtle energies, to bringing forth about healing with subtle energies and just understanding them? Well, we're in for a treat today. We have Denise Lewis Premshack, who is the CEO of an amazing organization, ISSEEM, I-S-S-S-E-E-M. And she brings forth a whole bunch of spirited, collaborative, perspective, and rich resources to this organization and to us today. She draws upon her experience and leadership in sales, training, marketing, recruiting, and consulting in both the corporate and public sectors, as well as many years of volunteer contributions for nonprofit organizations. And during her more than 30 years of independent study, yes, I mean, talk about you think college is a long time, Denise has focused on the role and the effect of subtle energies upon personal and spiritual evolution. And she founded a coaching, training, and consulting company called Field Guide. Yes, you know, we need that here out in the field of life, where individuals, executive clients develop emotional skillfulness for leading organizations and leading inspired lives. Fieldwork included leadership-intensive business development and organizational consulting, along with intuitive guidance, livelihood mentorship, and spiritual teachings. Prior to joining ICEM, Denise served 5 years on the leadership and the monthly programming committees of the Denver Noetic Alliance as an active Metro IONS community group. And she lives currently with her husband of 24 years in Parker, Colorado, a suburb of Denver. She has 2 sons in college and enjoys boating and camping and hiking and whitewater rafting and yoga, and has a voracious appetite for learning. What are you going to say, 30 years of independent studies, right? And Denise says that her real education comes from her relationships with spirit, family, friends, clients, community, and purposeful work and expressive play. So let go, and let's have some fun with Denise. Welcome, Denise.
Thank you, Ken. Great to be here.
Oh, hooray, hooray. Now, for most people, we've heard of subtle energies, but this thing, ICEM, ISSEEM, what does that stand for?
Well, I'm going to go very slowly here, because the acronym itself is long enough. I, 3 S's like Sam, 2 E's, M like Mary. That's how I have to say it on the phone all the time. It's the International Society for the Study of Subtle Energies and Energy Medicine. And most people look a little blank when I say even the words of the title of our organization, because not a lot of people are familiar with the subtle energies as a term. But the fact is, subtle energies are all around us. They are everything that is influencing us, and we are influencing in ways that are not tangible in by our 5 senses, let's say. They're tangible.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I describe subtle energies to people who are new to this type, this term and this type of study is you've all had probably an experience of some day when you walked into a room and you could just feel the tension. And you kind of knew even where it was coming from, maybe over in the corner there where a couple of people were having an altercation. You didn't notice that they were having some sort of an altercation. You just noticed the energy, and then it called your attention there. So that's very subtle, and an example of how we experience subtleness, subtle energies, every day.
Mm. Ah, okay. So so emotions, would I be thinking that some emotions that we feel would fit into the group of subtle energies?
Well, what I'm saying is that our antenna, if you will,
mm-hmm. yeah.
pick up all kinds of messages.
Ah.
And this might be an emotional thing. It might be some life on an outer planet that is sending a message to us. It might be what we feel is our spiritual guidance. It might be channeling a specific energy, like Reiki, for instance, for healing.
Oh.
Does that help?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so there's a whole range of things that would fit into this category of subtle energies.
Right. And as a society that was established 21 years ago in 1989 for the study of these things, and that's exactly what we are, is a group of people who are fascinated by this energetic component that is within many disciplines. And it includes people who have an interest in or have a profession in quantum physics, therapeutic modalities, healing arts, psychology, we delve into the study again of consciousness, psi. Does everyone know what psi is? PSI. That those are the types of phenomenon that are like, oh, great, the words left me. Psychokinesis, telekinesis, being able to move objects with your mind, being able to be telepathic, being able to be psychic. Those are all come in the area of psi. Oh. And under this big tent where we all gather, and I say all of humanity gathers, we're talking also about our multidimensional existence, which I touched on a little bit when we talked about could be everything from emotions to messages from outside, or what we consider outside of us. Or messages from inside of us.
Hmm. Oh, wow. Wow. And this is just so exciting because we're searching in these intense times for something that's going to support us to move ahead. And of course, one of the things that I love is about this time where science and spirituality, there seems to be a coming together of that, and I'm wondering if your work with iSeem ties into some of that.
Well, our tagline actually, Ken, is bridging science and spirit, and that was established in 1989 as the purpose for this organization. And so I probably still haven't been very clear about what we are exactly. We call ourselves a society, and that's kind of an old and dusty word that, you know, was still around in 1989. What we are more is a community now that is interested in the improvement of our lives, our human potential in general, through the application of these subtle energies and energy medicine. And energy medicine comes in here because many of the demonstrations of subtle energies come through healing. And there's documentation, and for instance, how prayer affects healing has been documented and studied and disputed and reestablished and things like that over the years. But these are the things that are of interest and what we promote in the world as a group that has been around for as long as we have. Lots of credibility, lots of very high-level professionals who are researchers and healers and teachers and pioneers in their thought processes around how we can actually use and apply these subtle energies and these healing phenomenon to our lives.
Oh, okay. Well, that's certainly so important. Now, I'm also wondering, as a subtle energy, our thoughts, we have thousands upon thousands of thoughts a day. Is a thought considered like a subtle energy?
Now, what would you think about that? Would you guess that's so?
Boy, I'll tell you, when I've tried to gather thoughts and, like, put them in a place, but they're so elusive, So, yes, I would think that would be pretty subtle.
And, yes, they are subtle energies, and they are, you know, there's nothing subtle about subtle energies because of their extremely amazing power. Thoughts are definitely powerful.
Ah.
If you ever have thought about it, that's supposed to be a little joke. If you've thought about it, Everything that you look at started as an idea.
Yes.
Every single thing that you can see in front of your face that,
all
that
the inventions
in the world started as an idea. And whether it was our idea or God's idea. So how powerful is that?
Ah. Yeah. So the calling them subtle in a way isn't quite giving them their due.
Well, that's exactly how I feel about it. But I think that because we don't know, we don't have a real handle on how it works. And one of the interesting things about our organization, ICEEM, that's actually the way I say the acronym. It can be said so many other ways, but I'm into phonetics, so I say ICEEM. One of the things that our researchers and scientists are very focused on is the direction that science can take in order to measure and study, again, subtle energies so that it is consistent and fits into a worldview that others have. For what I'm saying is the old model, the old scientific model is, you know, you have a hypothesis, you do a double-blind placebo, and you get certain results, and you throw out the rest. Well, with subtle energies, the subtle differences, the effects that are created by just who the players are, who's being involved with the experiment, who's thinking what, can make things different every time. And what the old model calls for is a very rigid result. And what we need is a new model that can hold as in a container the results that aren't always exactly the same. Because we, as individuals, as people, as transmitters, and as receivers, are not all the same.
Wow. Now, you mentioned, for instance, that we influence, like in an experiment, the old scientific model just said, okay, we're going to do an experiment and study something and do the results, do double blind, and then we'll have some scientific data. And then we're beginning to discover, as you were saying, well, wait a minute here. The people conducting the experiment have an influence on it, even in the case of a double-blind study.
Yes.
That's so powerful. I loved from years ago, and you may have even used this example in some of your teaching, where students, a group of students that were all had the same IQ, but they were divided into three groups, and three different teachers were told different things. One was told you've got a group of geniuses. One was told you've got average students. One was told that that the students are learning impaired, but do the best you can. And as the research proved, the students performed exactly to the expectations of the teachers, even though they all had the same IQs.
Yes.
So,
and let's take that even a little further into a medical example that was, it was all over the internet, and I know about it because of being at ICEEM, but there was a doctor who actually had three different knee surgeries scheduled for almost the same repair, very similar in each individual. He went in and put one of these people under anesthesia and didn't do anything except make a mark on the skin, at the skin level, so that this person would believe he had a scar, an opening. The next person, he went in and just opened it up and didn't do anything, closed the surgical wound, and the third person went in and did the usual procedure. Every single one of them behaved as if they had had the full repair done.
Oh,
and it wasn't revealed to these people until a year and a half later. What I never did find out in that particular experiment, and what I was very curious about, was whether after the revelation happened, whether there was a shift in their knee's capacity.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing, and my personal feeling is that in these experiments and in these studies, we should be looking at the placebo and studying that.
Mm. Yeah, because you're saying from that experiment, my gosh, the power of... and so what we would say is the doctor in the first two instances doing those knee surgeries was experimenting with these subtle energies. And in the third one, he actually did the surgery, but all three of them apparently responded wonderfully as though they'd all had the surgery. Well,
yes.
Golly gee, how many of us out there, when we start to think this is becoming clear, if we say, well, what are some of the applications of subtle energy resource to various parts of our lives? You're starting to open that door beautifully.
Kind of unlimited. It truly is. I'd love to clarify a few things, or, you know, just give you a few ideas about that, though. Let's see. I would say that healing is one of the largest areas where, like I mentioned before, there are phenomenal demonstrations of how healing happens. There are some dramatic things. Let me just share one. I saw a video at one time where Filipino healers were chanting over a woman who had a grapefruit-sized tumor lodged in her body. She personally was awake through this process and had made the decision, had said, yes, I believe that you can heal me. So a group of healers were chanting over her body a certain chant, and the tumor was being filmed with a sonogram at the time of the chant, and in 2+ minutes, between 2 and 3 minutes, I can't remember exactly, the tumor disappeared.
Wow.
So the caution, well, there's two interesting things about this. The chant that these people were using, these healers, was translated as, it is done. It is done. So that was what it takes. We have to know it is done and believe as if it has already happened. And the patient was a part of this, but does not have to be necessarily. I'll just qualify that. Although the patient could leave, and this was pointed out, the patient could leave, and if everything is the same, could recreate that very same health challenge again. So there is a requirement for responsibility on the part of the patient or client to continue the work, to hold the belief. It doesn't have to be there at the very beginning, but that tumor could have come back if the person went back home and proceeded as normal.
Ah, well, that would be consistent with what many of the medical community people say, that if someone has a heart surgery or bypass or whatever, but they don't change their diet, they could end up recreating the same thing. And of course, now we're not just talking about a diet of food we eat, but the diet of thoughts or feelings or other of these subtle things.
Yes, you're right on there.
Mm.
So another area where we definitely can use this, and it has to do with our health and our well-being, and that is for stress relief. The breath, the intention, etc. And for human potential, and I lump that in a large group, but I can talk to sports and to people striving for goals and things like this, which I've used in my own life in running sales teams and having them be more effective because they've used visualization, they've used intention, they've used particular measurement. It's even proven that if you measure and watch what you're doing every day, you know, get on the scale, for instance, you're activating that awareness and your desire at the same time, and it moves things.
Mm.
So those are some areas that are potentially available. And I would like to talk a little bit about healing, a little more about healing, and the phenomenon of using energy to move disease. Similar to what we talked, you know, the dramatic example of the tumor being disappeared. But there are people, many, many people, in fact, most people in our community who either use or are, use as a client or are capable of healing themselves, healing others themselves through channel. It's a channeling of or an opening to an energy that is beyond us. And the intention there is not, I want to heal you through these healers. It is, I am an open channel for this energy to come to you that you need.
Hmm. Wow. There's a difference.
That's right.
Normally we go to the medical doctor and, well, please, I'm sick, heal me. Give me a pill, mm-hmm. Give me a surgery, do something.
And that openness of the healer as well as the healee is actually the key to the shift in what needs to happen. So, food for thought, isn't it?
This is wonderful. So it's kind of interesting because a number of my listeners, I'm sure, may have heard, read the book, The Secret, or seen the movie, or another one that preceded it, What the Bleep Do We Know? And here it's kind of interesting that you've now become the leader of this group that's been around 20-some years, that's been very active in this type of thing.
Yes.
So here's a major resource base. So folks, if you had fun with The Secret and or you like What the Bleep Do We Know, you've now hit the mother load with iSeam here.
Right. And iSeam really holds the credibility factor. It's not. We're not talking woo-woo here, because for all of these 21 years of its existence, the focus is to bridge science and spirit. Say, yes, we have all of these vague and unnamed and potential energies to use. How do we measure them? How do we make them work? How do we apply them so that they can be utilized in a way that is helpful and whole for people? So another organization that I'm involved with as a volunteer is called Voice for Hope, and HOPE stands for Healers of Planet Earth. And we all are citizen healers. This group is a more politically oriented group toward making shifts that are going to happen, or have to happen, in that and at that level, in order for these things to be become a way of thinking for everyone, for healing to be about the whole person, the psyche, the tissues, the flow, not always just throw a drug at it, but look at what's going on in this person's life. Do body work, do like this energy work, which is flowing a healing energy for good into a person who needs it. Those are some of the things that this whole community is actively pursuing, actively advancing.
Wow.
And an interesting aspect of this is it's going back to original traditions. Before science came about, we were in mystery all the time. We as a human race, we didn't understand why the sun kept coming up every day. We were just grateful. And we were in mystery about everything. But now, after the dawn of science and the need for the explanation, we are having to pull those two together in order for people to grab onto it again.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. So science has opened a door, but we want to not just have that be the only answer. We want to go back to our ancient traditions and then use science and then mix them together, which is what you're doing with the blending of science and spirituality, so that it finally comes as a cohesive unit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. Now, are people that wanting to know more, I mean, what kind of resources? I know you have a website and different things that people can somehow take advantage of all this amazing work that you're doing.
Sure. Our main website is www.iseam, I, three S's like Sam, two E's, M, .org. And we are a nonprofit organization, and our main focus is education, disseminating information. And you can find out much about iSEAM, and there are resources available to people on our website. I'll tell you a little bit about the real cornerstones of our organization as far as being able to disseminate information. Those are a peer-reviewed scientific journal that has been published about subtle energies and energy medicine research for 21 years.
Mm.
It is a seminal piece of what our community, our researchers in this area of study, use as their foundation for moving forward. So what we have always backed and promoted and had as our foundation as the organization is this real research, as much as we can fit it into what people accept as the methodology now. There's plenty that we've done, and it's documented in 21 years of peer-reviewed journals. So those are available by subscription, or you get a discount when you join. Joining iSEAM is really a wonderful thing to do. It's a member organization, and members are included in all kinds of communications, but they mostly are our foundational support. Their dues are what help us operate and continue to be able to sort and filter and gather the kind of information that needs to be heard in the world. We are international, and we have at least 1/4 of our members worldwide. We have board members that are from Japan and Germany. And it's just a very eclectic group. Very highly professional. And we also embrace the layperson, the massage therapist, the acupuncture practitioners, all of those healers that are using subtle energies in their work. And everyone is welcome. Psychologists, social workers, and we have all of them. Medical doctors, nurses, researchers, scientists. We have a magazine for our membership called Bridges Magazine, and it's delivered to members electronically through into their inboxes 3 times a year. We have a member profile. We're just updating our system so that everyone's profile who is a member would be available, more available to each member. So that's a great benefit because of just what I said, so much of an eclectic group that we can help each other out and ask each other questions. And we have some unique things in the conference, which I'll talk about when we get to that point, that are available strictly to members. And everyone, anyone who is doing research can submit articles or papers to be in our publications. We have independent exploration groups. They're both virtual and geographically designed so that small groups can get together all over the world and talk about and generate projects or action from these ideas and from the passion around advancing this subtle energies and energy medicine field. And we have a newsletter that goes out monthly that we have, we disseminate information basically about other sister and allied organizations that are doing things as well as what's up at ISEAM. And I was mentioning I was going to talk about Four Corners, and so far I mentioned the journal and the membership. There is, and the magazine. So the fourth thing is our conference. And for 21 years, we've had an annual conference. It's usually been, outside of 2 years, quite some time ago, it's been in Colorado. And it's been in the Denver-Boulder area for all of those years it's been in Colorado. And our conference is a premier gathering place for all of those people and professions that I just mentioned who understand that there is a need for high standards for research and professional practice and peer review and ethics and education in this world so that it continues to gain its credibility, continues to unfold so that more and more people can take advantage of the applications that are available.
Wow, that's excellent. This conference, I'm guessing you have some pretty intriguing people that are going to be, I don't know if it'll be just like many different speakers and topics, because I'm just like going, okay, so what could we anticipate by coming
what
to this conference?
What juicy stuff is going on at conference? Well, first let me tell you that it's still, there's still time. You can come to our conference. And it is at the Westin Westminster, the tall building by the Butterfly Pavilion in Denver, for those of you who are local. And this year's conference theme, well, let me just say this one thing. Over 21 years, our conference presenters read like a who's who book of human potential and spiritual and scientific luminaries. They're the leading edge people. And this year, as in the last several years, we have our president, and that person changes each year and is always a prominent person in these fields. But our president will choose a theme and then will design the conference around that theme with a committee's help. And I'm a part of that committee and most, you know, in charge of the operations of the conference being implemented. So this year it is called Light, Vision, and Consciousness. Light, Vision, and Consciousness. And we are going to talk about healing with light and what light really means. And you might remember that in many, many religions, the Godhead is referred to with as light. So there's much meaning around that. Vision, it happens to be that our president is an optometrist who has, his name is Jacob Lieberman, and he is quite well known for having healed his own sight and healing many, many others, and writing books about it and developing products that would help by using light. So his guidance brought together this beautiful theme, Light, Vision, and Consciousness, and he invited some of his best friends to come and present. And these are the ones that decided they could share themselves with us. June 24th begins next Friday through June 27th, Monday. And Monday is all post-conference workshops, but I'll get to that in a moment. Here are the good buddies of Jacob Lieberman. Amit Goswami of What the Bleep fame, and also Quantum Activist. That's a new movie he has out. Bruce Lipton, who is very well known for his book called The Biology of Belief, which is exactly right up the vein we were talking about earlier, how beliefs can shift your biology. And he's a denouncer of the DNA dogma. That's what we call him.
Ah.
And what that means is that if you think everything depends on your DNA, you've got another think coming. Because you can change it. Alexander Wunsch is from Austria, and he will be here with his work around phototherapies. Sonia Barrett is a phenomenal natural scientist. That's what I'll call her. She has come into this world without a doctoral degree or anything like most, but just with this natural knowledge. And she is playing with the big players and showing everybody how things connect. She's a connect-the-dots person. Anna D. Martel is actually an inventor, and he has invented this amazing product called Sensora that gives you a multi-sensory experience and shifts not only your mental state, your emotional state, but your cellular being. Peter Cater, a really great friend of Jacob's, thank goodness, and also a friend of Colorado, famous pianist, is going to be with us. And his concert is open to the public, and Bruce Lipton's talk follows that on June 25th, and that is a separate ticket available for anyone who would like to come. $50 buys you a seat to see the wonderful, magnificent Grammy Award-winning Peter Kater and Bruce Lipton with his phenomenal talk about the biology of belief. And last but not least, we have Michael Bernard Beckwith of The Secret fame and Ricky Byers Beckwith, who is his partner and the director of the choir at the Agape Church in Culver City, California, that Michael founded. And Ricky is his choir director and a phenomenal musician and singer in her own right. So they're doing a dual presentation that is going to be him speaking and her supporting it with the music.
Hmm. Oh, boy.
So that's the lineup. That's just the big players. Plus we have, 16 elective sessions that are part of the conference, if one signs up for the conference, including the reconnection, called Reconnective Healing, including Acutonics, which is from the Kairos Institute. It's all about healing with sound, including esoteric acupuncture, which is developed by Dr. Miki Osanki. It's a broader system of acupuncture. We have some very interesting scientists that get down to talking about neuromelanin. We have some device manufacturers who utilize their talents to spread the usefulness of subtle energies with their products. And one of those is Zyto. It's a product that medical doctors use for diagnosis. And another one is LifeWave. They have patches that anyone can apply that use the subtle energies of the body to move forward in healing, help with sleep, pain, not healing necessarily, pain, help with sleep, and energy. Mm. We have hypnotic regression by a local licensed psychologist named Linda Backman. We have another offering by a woman her name is Maria Sildona, and she is extremely versed in Kashmir Shaivism, which is an Eastern tradition that really bridges science and spirit. And we have a panel that wraps up the Sunday conference day with, what is next? What does merging science and spirit mean, and what is next?
Mm. Wow. Oh, boy. Now, people, there's still time.
Yes.
There's places to stay. Denver, Colorado is an amazing area. You can get all this information on their website. And the ISSS, that's ISSSEM.
right. What and fun. I'm going to just share one more little piece. Members have a unique opportunity at conferences at ISEM. And that is, every single member is eligible, if they desire, to deliver a 15-minute talk to the attendees. Because our membership has something to say, and it's very valuable. So we open up an opportunity. It's called Members' Choice. It's, if you can imagine, a cross between speed dating and TED Talks.
Oh.
So picture presenters on soapboxes. Not really, but you can picture that. Presenters on soapboxes scattered throughout the whole hotel conference complex, and a map and a design of what exactly everybody's going to be talking about, and our attendees get to pick 4 to 6 talks during this session, and they travel from one presenter to the next, and each presenter delivers their talk a few times. So it's really fun, a great activity, and a great opportunity for just to get filled up with more and more information that you can use.
Wow. That's a wonderful level of participation. I don't see many conferences where the attendees get to take part in it. So this sounds pretty fun.
It's always fun. And you've got to know that because of all I've told you about ISEAM, that there is a particular energetic resonance in the hallways. And it's delicious.
Hmm. Now, as a way to kind of put that into a, you know, something that we can wrap our minds around, your email that you send, at the end of the email, there's a phrase, I don't know if this jumps right out at you, because we're talking about this being in a group of people that are very devoted to expanding our human potential, and while they may not have all the answers, they just know that there's something much more that's available. And then you put a quote that is from Alice in Facing the Jabberwocky in Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland. I'm not sure if that, you know, if you know which one I'm talking about.
I do. I have a lot of quotes at the end of my at the end of my signature, but I can certainly tell you that one is it wasn't Alice who said it in Lewis Carroll's book. It was the Queen. But in Tim Burton's depiction, it was Alice who said, and I want to quote it exactly, so hang on just a second, I'll find it.
So the same quote was by different people from the original Alice to Tim Burton's.
Right, exactly. And it is, sometimes, I'm going to just ad-lib because I don't have it in front of me, but it's sometimes, some days before breakfast, I believe 6 impossible things.
Before breakfast, huh?
That's right.
Up to
6 impossible things before breakfast. That's a good way to start when there's this much going on in one's life. And there's this much to wrap our arms around and embrace as possibility in the world.
Yes.
It's wonderful. So one more little tidbit around conference, a couple of reference points, and a clarification. Our Friday, our conference lasts Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It concludes mid-afternoon on Sunday, the 26th, and on the 26th evening and on the 27th, there are post-conference workshops that are available to anyone. So if you can't make the whole conference, there are evening events available all throughout our conference for the public to attend. Additionally, there is a full day of research abstracts being delivered on Friday. Friday is our research symposium. Amazing research has been being conducted, and it's all new. It's never been published. That's part of the criteria. And there are 2 amazing speakers as well on that day that are talking about the effects of consciousness the effects of conscious intention on human DNA and the effects of a complementary medicine intervention or some alternative healing. It is what she's talking about. The effects of a complementary medicine intervention on the immune function in cancer patients.
Mm.
So she's talking about hands-on or one of those modalities that we spoke of earlier.
Wow, this is wonderful. I feel like we're just getting started and could go into so much depth on a number of these areas, and here we are at the end of our hour. My gosh, this is
amazing. Wow, I can't believe it. So let me say the website where you can find out a lot more. Besides our own website, go to iSEAM, I, three S's like Sam, two E's, M like Mary, .org, iSEAMblog.org. iSEAMblog.org. We have fleshed that one out beautifully. You can learn so much there and just get really a picture of what this organization is about on that site.
Oh, hooray. Thank you. So everyone everywhere on the whole planet, if you can't come to the conference, go to iSEAM, iSSSEEMblog.org.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Denise, thank you for taking time. Many blessings to you and all the work you're doing. I so appreciate this, and I know my listeners are being blessed by it. And we just look forward. We'll keep in contact and see about having some of these other people on the program, because some of the folks you mentioned are just absolutely fabulous and would love to keep sharing this kind of information with my listeners.
Well, I am just thrilled to have been invited, Ken, and I hope you had as much fun as I did.
Oh, yes. This is superb. Thank you. And in conclusion, I just want to say thank you, Denise. Thank you, beloved listeners. And until we meet again, God bless and goodbye for now.
Let go.